Lord, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your kindness to us. Lord, I thank you that you've opened to us, Lord, heaven, and given us an opportunity to be saved and to know you. Lord, as we come to you, we just ask that, God, you would touch me to this morning. Help me to share what you want me to share. Help me to give what you want me to give for your kingdom, for your glory, and for your honor. We pray and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We had a good time on our trip to Arkansas. We went over to Missouri, saw the Spolneks. They're doing well. A lot of work over at their campgrounds. I think it's 165 acres. I think about 100 of that is rented out or leased out to corn crop, and the rest of it they have to upkeep. I think I say 160. I don't know. They said that they have to mow 80 acres of grass. I don't know how you keep up with that. But they have. There's only two of them, and then another older gentleman that kind of helps or that helps out there. They have a 100 and some odd rooms. Enough facilities for 100 and some odd rooms, I think they said, buildings and stuff to tend to, take care of, upkeep. They have a dining hall, and they have a chapel that seats 1,400 people. And they get to keep up with all that. So be in prayer for them. It is very beautiful grounds, very beautiful. So want God to move in them and give them the strength and energy they need to keep doing that. We enjoyed visiting with Brother Joe's family. We went, drove around. He showed us some of the places where they farmed when he was a kid. And we got to see some of Brother Joe's stomping grounds when he was a kid. That was kind of fun, and so that was neat. And then over to Searcy, Arkansas. They're doing well. They send their love to you. And then home. So thank God for it. While we were in Searcy, Arkansas, we shot up to Walnut Ridge, and we enjoyed some time with Brother Husky. And with Brother Husky, Brother Joe, and Brother Terman there, we figured out 167 years, or 267 years of I get 267 years of life between the three of them. Brother Joe, of course, will be 92 in February. Brother Husky will be 94 in July. And so a lot of stories, and they're telling stuff and they're talking and sharing. And Brother Joe made the comment. He said something along the lines, well, it's all in the Bible. God spoke it all. God said it all in his word. And I got thinking right then and there. I thought, you know, it's kind of a stupid thought, but it popped to my mind. I thought in my mind, I didn't say it out loud then, because, you know, when you have 267 years in front of you, you just be quiet and listen. Partly because if you speak, they can't hear you anyway. But come on, y'all. That was just a little bit funny, wasn't it? I did get up during their youth service. Brother Marshall wanted me to say something, introduce Brother Joe. I got up and says, I thought I was going to be the token old guy during the youth service. But Brother Joe was speaking, so I didn't get that. Anyway, so, but we're sitting there listening, Brother Joe saying, the thought came to my mind, actually I didn't say it because it was just kind of a goofy thought, but I thought, man, it would be impossible to throw God a surprise party, wouldn't it? He already knows it. but then the thought, you know, came to my mind and been dwelling on it for a little bit. You know, God's not surprised at anything. God's not surprised at the life that we're living or that the things that are going on. You look at the world today and you think in the whole crux of it, and we talk about the evil and the wickedness in the world today. God's not surprised at it. He's just not. And then you start thinking about your life and the things you struggle with and the things you go through. How about this? We're looking forward to a whole wonderful year of 2019, right? Brother Ernie asked, he says, well, was 28 a good year? And all I can think to say, Brother Ernie, is God is good. Because it was a horrible year and he gave it to us. It was a tough year for me. I mean, good things happened. Yes, we can look back at it and find some good things, but it was kind of tough. And we don't need to go in. I just say God is good, because after all that, he made us through. I'm hoping I got done with 2017 and I thought to myself, man, 2018's got to be better. So now I'm going to say 2019's got to be better. And so we're going to look forward to that. We're going to hope for that. But whether it is or whether it's not, at the end of it, God's not going to be surprised at what we go through in it. He's going to be faithful. He's going to be there. He's going to be our help. He's going to be our support. But at the end of it, we'll look back and say he is faithful. Hey, your brother Joe say that very often. God is faithful. Through the good times, through the bad times, God is faithful. God is there. God will help you through. And when it's a bad year, when it's a bad month, when it's a bad week, when it's a bad day, you can look up to him and say, thank you, God. You caused it. You allowed it, however you want to put it, so that I can grow. Now help me grow. You say, well, I don't like the bad parts. I don't like the bad parts either. But you know, you get more growth from the bad parts than you do the good parts of life. You just do. You don't believe me? Watch a toddler try to walk. You get more growth from the negative than the good. The good. And so thank God for it. So as I'm considering that God's not surprised, I want to share a little bit of my testimony today, but I want to kind of put it in an order, in a way that we can kind of look into our own lives and what God has done and what God has kind of opened up for us, and then also what is expected for us. Now, most of us are adults. We got some young people here today. Most of us are adults. And as we're looking into this, we can look back at our lives and we can see a whole lot of time pass. I realized something a little while ago in my life. It just kind of clicked in me. I've always looked forward to this time of life, and now I'm here. I'm like, I made it. But do you all realize that I'm middle-aged now? I'm no longer young. Can I get an amen from my kids? Tamara's amending that right away. I'm no longer young. I'm not quite old yet, because old is relative. And I'm looking, I sat with 267 years of three guys. And so I'm not old yet. I'm not young. I'm middle-aged, Brother Dave. I made it. Yes. You might say, oh, that's tough. No, I'm thrilled for it. I always wanted to be an adult. I thought being an adult was a whole lot better than being a kid. I got control over my own life, and I thank God for it. But now I'm looking back at my life, and I see things. And the first thing I saw in my life is that God puts things in order. Genesis, I just want to read the vastness of it. I want to read the broadness of this verse. God created order. Let me say it again and again and again. We didn't evolve. It didn't just happen. Chaos doesn't make order. And we have some incredible order in the world today, don't we? It is an amazing thing. So driving down to Missouri, I developed this runny nose and this cough. And I was not happy at all about it. And so I've got this runny nose and all this head congestion and problem. We're driving, we're traveling, we're talking, Brother Joe, through the week. He says, you know, normally I have this congestion and all this. I got to clear my throat. I got to clear my sinus or whatever. He says, this week I haven't had any problem with it. Yeah, thanks a lot. You gave it to me instead. But, you know, and so I said, God must have realized you didn't need it and gave it to me so you didn't have to carry it. You can have it back anytime. But, you know, it's been so congested. But the cool thing is I don't care so much. Yeah, it's frustrating. Yeah, it's annoying. But when you get a cold and you get a sick, it's not usually life-threatening. God, I know it could be, but God gave us this thing in our body where our body heals itself. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that just incredibly remarkable how the human body can live and function? And God put it in order. And then you took a look at the vastness of all creation. It says in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. How many of you were surprised this morning when you woke up and the sun rose? We just come to take some things for granted. How many, well, we may not see it. Sometimes you don't see it. But how many of you would be surprised tonight when the moon comes up? These things are just, they come in order. God said, he says, I'm going to put the greater light to shine in the daytime and the lesser light to light up the nighttime. He says, I've caused an order in this life. I've planted a pumpkin seed once and got a tomato. All of you doubt me because you know the divine order of God, that when you plant a pumpkin seed, you get a pumpkin. God created it. God set it in order. And then you go through the rest of the Genesis chapter 1. You know the word G-O-D, God, is written 26 times in 31 verses. He, H-E, referencing God, is five times in there. Our, God says our in there twice, and he says us one time. Speaking of that Godhead Trinity, we see in the book of Genesis that God over and over and over again created order in this world. I wrote this down. I want to read it. You can see this in the order that God created. You can see that in the vastness of life in general. I think it's awesome, the order of God. I think gravity is cool. Now, I wish it didn't have such a big impact on my feet. But some of that is just my fault. But I think gravity is cool. I think the law of aerodynamics, I don't understand it. I'm not a scientist. I don't get it. But I think it is remarkable how you could take an airplane, and because of the law of aerodynamics, it can spit in a law of gravity. You know, I think the law of aerodynamics was just, you know, it was like God made man first. I think he made gravity first. I don't know this for sure. There's no biblical explanation. I just think so, because then he made man first, and then but then he throws aerodynamics in there to say, ha ha, I'm better than you to gravity. And so he made man first, and then he made a woman to say, ha ha, I'm better than you. Yeah, no. He improved upon gravity and aerodynamics. All right. Well, I tried to get my wife a little bit. But you could see the order of creation, the vastness of life in general. And today, though, I want to look at the things from a personal perspective. I want to establish the fact that God created order. God creates. The devil ain't in the details. God is in the details. He makes it. God created order in your life to corral you in a certain direction. Has anybody ever felt like you're kind of being pushed in a direction or so? God created order in your life. He put things in your life to corral you in a direction. I think of a farm animal that gets loose. We had a while back a horse, a miniature horse from a farm up the road get loose, and it was down in our yard, and they all kept trying to get around it to get a rope on it. And now it's not good for that horse to be free. It's not good for that horse to roam like that. There's critters out there that can get it. It can get lost. It can get hit by a car. There's so many things. When you put an animal inside a fence, when you corral it, it's for their protection, right? God corrals us, and sometimes we're like that farm animal. We don't want to be corralled. We don't want to be herded. We don't want to be moved or pushed in any direction. We want to be, I'm my own man. I want to do my own thing, right? And God's put things in our way to kind of scare us and kind of move us. When we herd the chickens around, we'll put something in their way to kind of surprise them. So when they run into it, they can't keep going that way. I thank God that he stopped me from going in the direction that I'm naturally bent to go into. Aren't you? I thank God that he directs. And there's things in your life, and you'll look back at them, and sometimes you look back at them as a negative feeling in your life. But it's God putting something in your direction to move you here and there. And I want to talk a little bit about things that God put in my life to kind of direct me, kind of move me. And you know, some of what God did for you was before you were ever born. Isn't God awesome? God's not bound to the limit of time, but God knew before you were ever born where you need to be. And God will put something there. I always say in my life that I needed country living for me. I needed to be out of the city. I needed to be out of the influence of. Is anybody else in here directly influenced by other people? Quite a bit. I wish I could say that I was independent and didn't need. I don't need. Truth is, a salesman comes to my house, I'm a sucker. I have to, when a sales call comes in, when a salesman comes to our house, I have to turn on the mean Gary. I have to turn it on because it's not always on, kids. I have to turn on the mean Gary and drive them away before their sales pitch. Because if they give me their sales pitch, I can't say no. I'm getting better at that. When the resources aren't there, you don't have a choice. But I can't say no. And so I have to turn on that mean Gary and drive him away before I listen to it. I'm very easily influenced, and I think God knew that. And so he put me in a place where I didn't have a lot of influence. I believe that country living saved my life when I was younger. I really do. And you can have your own perspective. I want you to think about your own perspective. What happened when you were a kid? What situation did God put you in that help lead you today? Oh, we don't want our young people, or we don't want our past sometimes because it drives us nuts, but it made us who we are today. It drove you to a place where you're willing to listen to the word of God. Sometimes I'm not happy with yesterday, but it caused today. And so for whatever reason it is, now I'm ashamed of my reaction to yesterday sometimes, but I'm not ashamed of where God put me, because wherever God put me created me today. My grandpa, my great-grandpa, I went back this far. My great-grandpa bought a little part of land. My grandpa built upon it. My grandma ended up with it. My grandma said one day, she goes, "This house is too big for me. I'm just going to move." So she gave it to my dad. And however that worked out with inheritance and all that, it doesn't matter. It's none of my business. She gave it to my dad, and my dad ended up living there. But here's what's really cool. God puts things in your life. So my grandma, she moved. I mean, I had nothing to do with this. This is God corralling me where I need to go. And my grandma, she went down. She rented a house over in Love's Park, right on the Rock River. You see that dragon out there sometimes? They take that log that's out there and they put little spikes on it. And then my uncle takes credit for doing that once. Whether he did or not, I don't know. But he says he swam out there one time and he put them spikes on there and made that dragon. He said he was the first one to do it. I don't know. He's old, so he could have. My grandma lived out there in this old little house, and it was fine for the house. And my grandma probably would still be there. Well, probably not, because she's in a retirement home now. But she'd probably still be there as long as she could have, except that the city wanted to come through and put in a bike path. So if you go down just north of Auburn Street, Spring Creek right there, if you go just north of there on the bike path, you'll run into a water fountain. My grandma says that was her kitchen sink. But that's where her house was. And they tore it down to put in a bike path. And it is so awesome how God works, how God moves. Because my grandma rented a trailer. Now, if you go down North 2nd Street, almost to 173, you're going to come up. And on the right side, there's Kingdom Hall right there. That was my grandma's trailer. They had to tear it out of there to put in the Kingdom Hall. That's where my grandma lived. But she moved into this really, really... She had these really odd landlords there. Some really strange people. He started a church and pastored a church. And his wife was just quite outspoken. I'm not lying. Now, most of you don't know his wife then. You know Sister Vivian. But before Sister Vivian and Sister Pat. And Sister Pat passed away, and Brother Joe had such a God gave him such a fondness and love for Sister Vivian that he married Sister Vivian. But now Sister Pat and Sister Vivian were great friends, and when they say opposites attract, that's true, isn't it, Brother Joe? They were two. Sister Vivian was, she'd be so sweet, and you know, she'll get loud and laugh and have fun, but Sister Pat was outspoken. She'll tell you. She always called me her little fur piece. Whenever I tried to grow a beard then. She was out. She talked to my grandma and she preached to my grandma. And she taught my grandma until my grandma started coming to church. Y'all, I wonder what my life would be like if my grandma never rented a trailer from Brother Joe. I wonder what my life would be. And have you ever gone through in your life and just considered what would your life have been if? What would your life have been if just this one thing would have changed, and it may have changed your entire life? God has put things in your way to corral you and to move you in a certain direction. And it may have been your childhood. It may have been since you were an adult. But God puts things in your way. Don't groan and moan and fuss and cuss. Don't cuss at all. But don't moan and groan and fuss and cuss about what's going on in your life. God may be leading you in a direction you need to go. And sometimes these bad things may save our lives, and sometimes they won't. Sometimes they're just there. Sometimes it's just... But sometimes these bad things in our life will just, they may be that which God is using to save our life, to divert us into the right path. I will tell you, those pigs in the pig barn during fair time are not happy with being corralled. But if they run free out in the fair, their life's going to be even shorter than it is. I'm telling you, God will put things in your way. Yes, I just likened you to a bunch of pigs. I'm just saying. God will put stuff in your way to direct you where you need to go. And there's a truth to it. God's not surprised when something happens in your life. He's allowed it. He knows where you need to be. So quit kicking against it and being discontent with it. Accept it, embrace it, and walk in it, and allow him to do the work through you. You're where you are. God has allowed it. Now, you may be where you are because you've messed up. But if you follow after today, let me just stop for a minute and slow down. You may be where you are because you've messed up. There is that possibility. But I don't care about yesterday anymore. God could still use that. And God will put things in your way today to move you in the direction you need to be. God created order. And whether it looks like it or not, you have order in your life. You have to accept it and walk in it and let God lead you where he wants you. I'll talk about it at times. I say, oh, what a coincidence. But church, I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in God's order in our life. And we'll talk about it in a little bit, but I believe in cause and effect. So if you're going through something, it's because God has allowed it or put it in your life for a purpose and a reason, or it's a cause and effect of something in your life. God's not surprised by what's going on. Well, I'll leave that. And then, so first of all, I believe that God created order, and then I believe that God has a plan for your life. I know for a fact that God has something in the future that he is looking at, whether that's tomorrow, whether that's an hour from now, whether that's in a couple years. God has something that you're reserved for. God has something that you're reserved for, something for you to do. God created order in your life that you may have a relationship and walk with him, but also so that he may put you in a position and a place that he may use you for something he wants to use you for in the future. You could see that in your past. I know you can, that God has done things and made a way for you. And it could be something as simple. I mean, God was using me when I was mowing the churchyard. It used to be that Sarah and I would have to show up 20 minutes before anybody else in the church so that we can come through the church and clean it. That was a heavy weight on us. I'm telling you what, by the time church started, I was already exhausted and tired because we had to work before church even started. We had to do all these things. I'm telling you, we have a lady now that sneaks in usually on Saturdays and she comes through and cleans the church. You all won't know the burden that took off of our place. You say, what's the big deal? You're on a vacuum cleaner. I understand it's not that big of a deal for us to do. I'm not whining and complaining, saying, oh, I shouldn't have to stoop to cleaning. I said that one time. One time I popped up and I says, God, I'll do anything you want, but I don't want to clean the church's toilet. You can hate me for saying it. I'm just telling you what went through my mind. I was a younger man at the time, and you know what I was doing the next time I came to church? Because the Spirit of God smote my heart so hard. I went through and cleaned all three toilets. Because when God speaks it, you do it. And not only that, but it wasn't but a few years back when Isaiah was just a little tyke and him and little Garrick was running around doing something, that they took Sister Vivian's little clear plastic cup that she left sitting on the sink so she'd go back there and get a drink when she got too parched because she didn't want to bring water out into the sanctuary. So she'd go back there, she left that sitting on the sink right there, and the boys somehow threw that into the toilet. The problem was, it was clear. And Brother Dave, I couldn't see what was in there. It was clear. But I did know that the water wasn't going down. And neither was anything else. And I tried and I plunged and I snaked and I couldn't get anything. I had no idea what was in there. And the day that I had that toilet off of its base, laying sideways, and I'm kneeling down in a pool of water, and I got my hands one on both sides to try to feel what was inside that toilet, I thought, and I told you, God, I didn't want to ever clean a toilet. And I got my hands and my knees deep into it. I'm telling you, church, don't tell God you won't do anything. And I'm telling you, church, those things around the building and those things that you do, you say, well, I don't have a pulpit ministry, so I'm not doing anything. I'll say hogwash. If you're vacuuming the church, when you're mowing the churchyard, if you're helping shovel, if you're spreading salt, I'm telling you what, church, everything that anybody does takes a little bit more load off of somebody else's plate. And what a wonderful ministry you have. God has a plan for you. And it may be a plan of support. It may be a plan of leadership. I don't understand. But God's got a plan for you. And God wants you to follow through it. Now let me tell you this. That unless you're walking with Him, unless you have your heart sold with Him, unless you're born again, and that plan is of null effect for you. He has a plan for you, but you will never realize it until you surrender your heart to Him. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, he says, 4 and 5, it says, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, God says to Jeremiah, before I even formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Now, some people seem to think that this means that you had life before you were born. But I don't ever see in the scripture where he says we're eternal beings. I think it is that God's not marked by time and space. God already knows tomorrow because He's already experienced it, because God's not bound by time. Go ahead and have me explain that, and I'll tell you, I'd have to be God to explain it. But with all my heart, I believe it. God's not bound by time. He knows tomorrow because He's already experienced it. He's already seen it, because that's who God is. He's just... So He says to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And then check this out. He says to Jeremiah, before you were even born, I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. He knows, church. He knows what He desires from you. He also knows what you're going to do. You can't surprise God. Jeremiah 29:11, he says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God has a plan. I was 14 years old. I went up to pray at youth camp. It was 1987, and I went up to pray at youth camp. The year before that, I experienced God in a new and in a real way, and it was powerful and it was wonderful. And I learned that every year, every service, if I went up to that altar, God would move and I'd get touched. I was addicted. I was addicted to the Holy Ghost. I love that. I love that flow. I love that move. I love the goosebumps. I love the good feelings. And I went up there and I prayed and I prayed. I didn't know His name at the time. I knew He was my counselor. I found out later on that they were mean to me. Brother Paul, about 4 years later, and I'm standing behind the teen class at Searcy, Arkansas during their camp. And Brother Paul says, do you remember the nickname we gave you? And I says, no, I don't. He says, we used to call you Stinky Feet because you took off your shoes and it stank. I didn't remember that. But what I did remember, and I didn't even remember, was Brother Paul until he reminded me later on. But what I do remember is standing up there with my arms up and some guy coming up, laying his hands on my head and prophesying over me at 14 years old. And he says, you'll be a pastor someday. And I started looking at what does it mean to be a pastor? What is it to be a pastor? What is required of the pastor? And it, you know, started reading in the scripture. And I saw all sorts of things. And I had to set my life accordingly. Now, I shouldn't be a pastor according to some people. I've never gone to seminary. I've never gone to Bible school. But what I had is I had a mentor that took me under his wings. I had a guy that showed me, that the greatest part of being a pastor is to serve. And I watched him as pastor coming, and he didn't mind mowing the yard. He didn't mind changing the windows when they were busted out. He didn't mind doing this. He didn't mind doing that. He worked on people's cars for them when they broke down. He did all these. He served the people. And then he got up and he held the foundation. He preached truth, and he wouldn't let us get away with stuff. And when us kids would snap bubble gum in the pews and distract from service, he said a principle. He says, "Hey, look, no more bubblegum in church. If y'all can't handle it, no more. We won't have distractions in the middle of church." I thought, "Oh, that's awesome." He stood up there and he probably preached that it made a difference who you are. And I thought to myself, and so I didn't have all these Bibles, but I had a mentor that come. See, God had a plan. It was said many times when we were down there, and I'll say it again in a minute, but it was said many times, especially when we were visiting Brother Husky, that God, where God leads or where God guides, he will provide. I was going to say where God leads, he will provide, but that don't rhyme. So you got to say where God guides, he provides. But wherever God tells you you're going to be, wherever God puts you, he'll provide for you when you get there. Problem is, sometimes we get ahead of God and sometimes we get behind God. But what God guides, he'll provide. We're God. And so God provided me that mentor. And then I had a church. I belonged to a church. You see how big we are. And I didn't have an option of a spouse in the church. Every time a young lady come into the church, I started, well, I wonder. Maybe. I even tried to go to other church special services so that I could, maybe I'll run into a girl. The one place I never went to try to find a girl, because I didn't want to cloud it. I was enjoying the experience. I was enjoying what I found down in Searcy, Arkansas. I never did go to try to find a girl until that last year. Then I found a young lady I married and brought home, and I think that was awesome and all these things. But, it was funny. 26 years old, I remember at 25, I was told by so many people, you got to lower your standards. And then a couple, about a year before we were married, a couple girls kind of come and lowered their standards. I would have had to lower my standards. But they came along, and there was interest there, especially on their part, because I'm all that. There was interest there. But God says, I called you to be a pastor. I have a plan for your life. You cannot. They wouldn't fit in to that calling, to that plan. And so I said, God, you're going to have to provide then. Because the Bible does say that the bishop or the man of God ought to have himself a spouse, one wife. God, you're going to have to provide. And then God opened up a door and provided miraculously. I wasn't supposed to go to Arkansas that year, Brother Dave. I was going to stay back. Brother Joe was going to go. He says, no, I can't go. You go ahead and go. I was, very first email Sarah ever sent me, she says, I love my home. I could never leave it. All the cards were stacked against me, but God had a plan, y'all. God had a plan. And when you listen to God's plan, he'll put you in a place. He'll provide to you. Well, God's got a plan for my life, but he'll do it, church. Where God guides, he will provide. He's not surprised with where you're at in life. Last thing, and I got to say this one. See, God created order. He put things in your life to bring you where he wants you. God's got a plan for your life. He'll show you what you need to do. But the last one is the most important from our perspective, because it's our responsibility. Bible says, for by grace you are saved, that of not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Absolutely. You can't do anything to earn your salvation. But I will tell you what, you can do something to forfeit it. I will tell you this, you can't do anything to earn favor before God, but you can do things that position yourself that God can use you greater. Jesus sat there and he says, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Why? Because of what? They did. Please listen to me very carefully. What you do and what you don't do in life will have a cause and effect. And some people say, well, I can do this and still go to heaven. Maybe so, maybe not so. I don't want to take the chance, but maybe so. Let's just say for a minute, maybe so. But by doing this, you may still gain heaven, but you're going to have an effect on your life here and now. I've got three things I just wrote down. Three things that I find very important. That we need to be faithful in, that we need to walk in, that we need to do. And if you are faithful in these things, you will see results that are positive. Remember, God has a plan for your life. Maybe you're stepping in that plan. I'm pastor now. God had a plan. God moved me. God created order in my life. He set me in a place where I can receive everything he wants from me. Thank God for it. He's got a plan for my life, and he's put me in a place with that plan. Thank God for it. Now, what's going to happen while I'm here? Brother Joe had an invitation, and I got to say this because I was blown away. I was so proud of my mentor, of my pastor for so long, of the father of this church, the founder of this church, that at one time I had to fight back tears. I was so proud of him. And he got up and he started preaching. And it wasn't so much the words he was saying, although they were there, the power in which he said it in. And Brother Cliff, I sat back in them seats and I was shamed. Now he's got a few years on me and all that, fine. But I was shamed sitting there thinking, God, I want that spirit. And God spoke to my heart. Then you have to pay the price that he paid. Cause and effect. Cause and effect. I know people. I know for the most part I'm speaking to the choir. And I talk very much and I preach very hard. And I try to shame people that aren't faithful to the house of God. I do. I try to shame them into it, should I say. I try to push them into it. I try to drive them into it. Being faithful to the house of God, faithful. Well, I am the church. I don't have to go to church. And maybe that's true, maybe that's not. It's not for me to say. But if you're not faithful to the house of God, you will feel the effects and you will be less of a man or woman of God than you are when you're faithful. There are things about being around the people of God that God can give you a place. God can give you a foundation. God can give you a launching place. God can give you. But I've seen those that aren't faithful, those that have other things to do. That's why I don't mean to be a jerk. I know I'm good at it, but I don't mean to be a jerk. And quite frankly, most of the time I don't enjoy it. I think that's why it puts me in a bad mood, because I don't enjoy it, but I got to be sometimes. But if I could drive somebody and if I could really get somebody to realize it, and the reason I don't need a bunch of people at church for me to get up and feel validated. I've done this for 19 years. Come February, it'll be 19 years I've pastored. 19, right? Yeah, 19 years. I've gotten over being heady and needing people here. I preach to one and two people. I don't have to have people here to feel validated. But people need to be here for their sake. And it's not only that I'm preaching so wonderful, you need to hear everything I have to say. It's not like that. But there's a foundation that's built in your life. And the people that are frustrated at as Christians are usually those that don't have that faith walk with a body. Furthermore, let me say, you need to be faithful to where God's called you, whether that's here, whether that's somewhere else. You need to be faithful to where God's called you so that you can raise that foundation. Because when you don't find that one place to be faithful, you have a lot of little roots everywhere. And there's some good in that. There's some benefit to that. But you need those deep roots that sustain life. A shallow-rooted tree, a shallow-rooted plant withers quickly. You need that depth, that depth. Faithful to the house of God, cause and effect I'm talking about. I'm not talking about salvation versus non-salvation. I'm talking cause and effect. What you do how you act, these things have an effect in your life. Well, Pastor, you preach certain holiness messages that I don't agree with. I'm going to tell you what, if you don't agree with holiness, it'll have a cause and effect. Can you still get to heaven? Sure, I guess. If you dress a certain way, if you live a certain way, if you speak a certain way, if you watch certain things, can you still? Maybe. But I'm going to tell you what, when you straighten those things in your life, when you tighten those things in your life, it has a benefit. A benefit. I'm not talking heaven or hell. A long time ago, I got over, am I going to heaven or am I not? A long time ago, I got over all that stuff. I don't care if I'm not talking about going to heaven or hell. I'm talking about not only being pleasing to God, I'm talking about cause and effect right now. And if you don't study your word diligently, it will have a negative effect in your life. I wrote it down this way, concerning the study of the word of God. If you do, then the Spirit can bring it back to your remembrance when you need it. If you study it, it's there when you need it. But if you don't, you won't be able to stand against those with an argument. You can only go back to the experiences in life so much. Thank God, I believe, I agree with Brother Joe's statement, or that he's shared, a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. I thank God for that. Absolutely, I agree with that. But you can only go back to the experience so much until you need to stand on the word. My people perish for lack of knowledge. You need the word. Study to show yourself proved a workman unto God, needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You'll be frustrated when you try to minister if you don't stand on the word. I'm talking cause and effect. You'll be a shallow Christian if you don't have the word of God hidden in your heart. Hide the word. Hide the word. Hide the word above all else. Thank God for the preaching of the word. Thank God for books. Thank God for all these things that were written up. But I'm going to tell you what, unless you hide it in your heart for yourself, quit running to other people for answers. Start looking for it for yourself. When I was 15 years old, one of my sister's friends asked me to go out with her, whatever that means. 15 years old, I was nervous about going out. You know what I did? I sat in a chair at the house and I opened up the Bible trying to find what the Bible had to say about going out with girls. Right? Now, I didn't know how to get around in my Bible very much and I didn't get a lot of answers. I got some answers like don't mess around with her before you're married with her. That was apparent in the Bible. He didn't say whether I could go out with her or not. Some of that I developed later on in life and understood and saw and learned. Study your word. He's got answers for what you need in your life. Study your word. And then the very last one is prayer. And I'm telling you what, when I'm sitting there and I'm listening to Brother Joe preach and I'm thinking to myself, oh, I feel shamed. I mean, I'm proud, shame. I mean, all these kind of emotions are running around. I may not have heard a word he said then. I don't know. But no, I did. I'm just teasing with him. Spirit of God says you need to get more fervent in prayer. There's a cause and effect. Let me tell you this one thing also. Let me go here. When you enact something in your life, you say, I want a positive effect. And you enact something in your life, and you're looking at it and saying, I want this. I want this. I'm gonna do this so I can gain this. You will seem like you're so far away from what you want to gain. I want to gain this right here. I want to gain it. That's what I'm after. So I'm gonna enact something in my life. And you start, and you're doing this thing over and 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 again. I'm praying every day so I may obtain. I'm praying every day so I may obtain. I'm praying every day so I may obtain. Right when you're closest to it, you will feel the farthest from it. Anybody else ever experienced that? I want to save some money for next year. So you start putting money away, putting money away, putting money away, putting money away. And when you determine to save your money, do you know what happens? Trouble. Oh, but you planned for the bills. The bills were planned for. It's the other things that come up that you didn't realize were going to come up. And usually for us parents, it's kids. Something else, braces. Something else will come up. Something else will come up. And you'll feel so far away. But what you don't realize is that you gained a foundation, a practice, a habit that puts you right into reach
and you didn't even realize it. And when you seek the face of God in prayer and prayer and prayer, when you start studying your word, you'll feel like you're so far away from that. But the foundation that you laid put you right in touch with it. And at the time appointed, listen to that, at the time appointed, because God knows when it's appointed, because God has the plan, God created the order, God knows when the need is there. At the time appointed, God will open up the heaven for you and you'll receive everything that he has for you to receive. Let me tell you what, his timing is not your timing. His time appointed is different than your time appointed. But know this for a fact, he's the one that created the order. He's the one with the plan. You keep walking in that walk that he's given you, the effect will come also. That's part of the order. That's part of the plan. In his season, he'll bring it forth in due season. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. Like I said, I just threw a little bit of my testimony in it. It is remarkable how God set my life in order. I'm the child of two alcoholics. Thank God my mama, when she passed away, she was growing. She was learning of God. She was seeking his face. She was hungry for more of him. She was disappointed because she wasn't closer than she thought she should be. I think that's awesome. I think I'm very proud of my mama. But I'll tell you what, I grew up the son of two alcoholic parents. I grew up the son of a womanizing dad. I grew up with all these things. I was telling of my past history. My grandpa threw a smoke bomb into my grandma's kitchen while she was in there with a couple of her kids just to see her run out the door. Can you believe that? And then when the house smelled so bad for two nights later that grandma and the kids had to sleep in the car, he went over and slept at his mom and dad's house. What a jerk. I had one grandpa that was a horse thief. Or great-grandpa. I had a great-grandpa that didn't want to divorce his wife, so he changed his name so he could get remarried. Those are the type of things I grew. That's my heritage. I have no right to be serving God today. Oh, but thank God. He reached down, he pulled me out of all that. And he says, Gary, you may not have a right, but I desire to be with you.